Good morning and welcome to all, particularly our guests who today join us for the offering of this Mass on the first Sunday of Lent here at the Church of the Madeleine. Please know, our guests, you are welcome to take part in the pancake breakfast that's taking place right after our Mass in the parish hall, courtesy of our men's group. My thanks to everybody who was able to take part in the parish mission we had this last week, led by Monsignor James Shea, particularly those who helped prepare and to plan for the lunch last Sunday. And also know that all three of his presentations were recorded, and they're now available for listening on podcast at the parish website, as well as the parish Facebook page. Also know that this week, in addition to the times for confession on the weekend, I'll be available to hear confessions on Tuesday evening from 6 to 7 and Wednesday evening from 5 to 6. And I ask again that every family in the parish, every individual, make a commitment to take part in at least one of our Fridays of Lent devotions, with Holy Hour at 5, the meal at 6, and Stations of the Cross at 7. Today we offer special congratulations to a priest of the Diocese of Tulsa, formerly known as Monsignor Peter Wells. We now get to refer to him for a while as Archbishop-elect Peter Wells. He has been working at the Vatican for a number of years in the Vatican Secretary of State, and has been named as the Papal Ambassador, or the Nuncio, for South Africa and Botswana. He'll be consecrated Archbishop at St. Peter's Basilica on the 25th of this month, and he will be here in Tulsa on April the 4th to offer a Mass of Thanksgiving at Holy Family Cathedral. He is originally, at least he grew up in Guthrie. And if you have any pull with anybody at the Department of Transportation, I think it'd be a great sign to put there, you enter Guthrie. Welcome to Guthrie, Oklahoma, home of Archbishop Peter Wells. So if Carrie Underwood can have her sign in Chakota, so I think Peter can have his in Guthrie. So. For those who took part in Mass on Ash Wednesday, here or elsewhere, you heard those words spoken as you received the ashes on your forehead. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Or, repent and believe in the gospel. We are reminded that day of our mortality, and also of our need to repent or turn away from sin and to be converted to the good news of salvation. And we wear a public statement of both with those ashes. And not so much to remind others, you know, the people that you may have run into later that day in the store, at work, at school, who ask you what that smudge was on your forehead. The reminder is not so much for them as it is for us. We are in need of God's mercy. And Lent is a special time of that mercy. Monsignor Shea, during the mission, said that mercy is experienced when our misery meets God's love and joy for us. And mercy calls us to conversion. And in Lent, it calls us in preparation for the great events of Holy Week and Easter. They're referred to in the Church's liturgy as the Paschal Mysteries. So listen close for those words during Mass throughout the season of Lent. Now, mercy is not a blank check. It's not some type of get-out-of-jail-free card that allows us to go off and do as we please. Rather, mercy is offered to us to call us to repentance, to call us to conversion, to a change of life. And all that we are as the Church, the body of Christ, is about offering mercy to humanity. Lent, particularly in this Jubilee year of mercy, is the great season of mercy. So now, on this first Sunday of the season of mercy, as we begin our 40 days of prayer and fasting in Lent, we meet Jesus at the end of his 40 days of prayer and fasting in the desert. Now, he's not there to repent from sin or for conversion. He has no need of either. He is there in preparation for his mission of mercy and salvation. It's a mission that reaches its climax at Holy Week and Easter in the cross and resurrection. It is at the end of his 40 days of fasting and prayer that Jesus is faced with the three great questions or temptations offered to him by the enemy. also known as Satan or the devil. Often today, if we think of Satan or the devil at all, it's in the context of demonic possessions, exorcisms, or of a handful of people in Oklahoma City who apparently like to perform some type of performance art as a way of mocking what we're doing right now and what they refer to as the Black Mass. Certainly, it makes the headlines. Now, while demonic possession is real, as our exorcism says, it's worth remembering that they're also extremely rare. And we would be wrong to think that that is the only means in which the enemy attacks us. The normal means are far more subtle. They don't make any headlines, but they're just as dangerous. They are the temptations that Jesus faces in the desert and that we face every day. Of pleasure, power, and prestige, or the ego. If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Jesus has fasted for 40 days. In his humanity, he's weak, he's vulnerable. And when we are weak and vulnerable, whether physically, emotionally, or spiritually, we are most likely to experience the attacks of the enemy upon us. And Jesus' response to this first temptation is perhaps the best known one-liner in the Gospels. One does not live on bread alone. The point is that bread or any other type of food, drink, or any physical pleasure, including sex, are not bad in themselves. I mean, after all, the French writer Hilaire Belloc said, "Wherever the Catholic sun doth shine, there's always laughter and good red wine. At least I've always found it so. Benedicamus Domino." After more than 30 years a Catholic, I can attest to the truth of that statement. But as we've now entered these 40 days of fasting and preparation for the Paschal Mysteries, today we are reminded that we do not live on bread alone. That there is more to life than physical pleasure. For when the pursuit of physical pleasure becomes the dominant factor in our lives, we drive our lives into a ditch. Think of all the addictions that people fall into, that they struggle against. Food, alcohol, drugs, gambling, pornography, etc., etc., etc. The dominant factor of our lives is to be our encounter with Jesus Christ and living out of that encounter. Yet remember, if we find ourselves in the misery of such temptations, even of addictions, God's mercy calls us to repentance, calls us to conversion. I shall give you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me. After the temptation of pleasure comes the temptation of power. Now, there's an interesting point here that can be easily overlooked. Jesus has shown not just some of the kingdoms of the earth, or most of them. He has shown all of them. What is implied is that all worldly power, all the kingdoms of the earth, are under the control of Satan. How do we understand this temptation then? As with physical pleasure, power, and honor or glory, you may want to call it that, they're not bad in themselves. But as we often see, the true measure of a leader is when he or she is entrusted with power. Is that power used for the common good? Or is it used for selfish self-interest? Tomorrow is the President's Day holiday. Now, some people have the day off, and we, on that day as a country, remember two of the great leaders of our nation, Washington and Lincoln. We hope you should remember that, and not just that it's a discount sales of mattresses and appliances somewhere. Both of these men use the power entrusted to them for the greater good. And it's not just those elected to public office who yield power. So do parents, teachers, clergy, supervisors, employers. How are we using that power that's been entrusted to us for the common good, as God has called us to serve? Are we using it for that purpose, or are we abusing it? Are we worshiping it? In these 40 days of preparation for the Paschal Mysteries, this Sunday we are reminded that you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him alone shall you serve. As with physical pleasure, if we give our lives over to the endless pursuit of power and honor, if they become the dominant factor of our lives, we drive our lives into the ditch and worse. We worship at the feet of Satan. Let that sink in. We worship at the feet of Satan. Did I mention that this is an election year? Yet also, remember, if we find ourselves in such temptation, in such misery, God's mercy calls us to repentance and conversion. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you to guard you. After the temptations of pleasure and power comes the temptation of prestige or the ego. And by ego, think of it as the I, the self. Jesus is taken to the highest point in the temple in Jerusalem. It is the very center of Jewish worship and identity. It is where God is encountered. It is where right worship is offered. And from there, Jesus is urged to throw himself off in order to test God. You're probably familiar with the saying, the third time's the charm. Well, the third temptation is the very heart of sin itself. In it, Jesus is tempted to take the place of God. It is to place the ego, the self, at the center of everything around which God and the angels will revolve. As with pleasure and power, the ego is not bad in itself. The temptation is to allow ourselves to take the place of God as the center of our lives. It's the original sin. And it's the sin that we do battle against every day. And every time that we fall into this temptation of allowing our ego to be the dominant force to place it at the center instead of God, we drive our lives into the ditch of misery. So on this first Sunday of our 40 days of preparation of the Paschal Mysteries, we are told, for you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Yet remember, if we find ourselves in such misery, God's mercy, in the person of Jesus Christ, the human face of the Father's mercy, calls us to repentance, calls us to conversion. Lent is the great season of mercy. God's love and joy poured into our misery, preparing us for the great Paschal mystery of the cross and resurrection. May our 40 days of preparation be a time of true repentance and conversion, as today we gather for this Mass, to hear again that we are to repent and believe in the gospel, to receive the mercy of God.